our industry is horrible. We waste 1.5 billion gallons every single day by overwatering. It's miserable.
Welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Russ Junt, founder of Conserva Irrigation. Today, we're discussing Conserva 2.0 and the evolution of the brand, how their process helps consumers save up to 60% in water usage, how they became the largest irrigation franchise in the U.S. with average revenues over $750,000. We hope you enjoy the show, and please follow us as we drop new episodes each week on Wednesdays. All opinions expressed by Cliff, Justin, and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Phrenosity and Pursuit of Profit. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions.
Part of the deal was in moving the company there, we were going to move to Florida. Then I still commute to Richmond, either from Minneapolis or from here. We go back to Minneapolis about a little less than 4 months a year, but we're Florida residents, yeah.
What part?
Gulf Coast side, anywhere the hurricanes are hitting,
yeah.
That's where we're at.
I used to live over there in Naples.
Yeah, well, I'm in Port Charlotte, actually kind of Englewood, Placida.
Oh, yeah.
Area Boca Grande. Yeah, right in there. Yep.
All right, Russ.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for coming on. Anything you want to talk about, Russ, to make this awesome today?
I will tell you this, I'm growing my hair back, right? So Justin, I will tell you, I looked like you just a month ago, 2 months ago, right? My sister, we don't have to talk about this, but I will tell you that a lot of people are commenting on, hey, you're getting your hair back. My sister, in solidarity with my sister, who's 57, I'm 56, she was given a death sentence with peripheral T-cell lymphoma. And that happened in July. She started her treatment in August and was not supposed to be with us right about now. And she's with us, not only with us, but she's kicking the crap out of that thing. And she's in remission, which the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota is perplexed on trying to understand how that's happening. But she's part of a trial. Partly it's the drugs, partly it's her spirit. The other part is a God thing, right? And so it's a big, big deal. And so there's a lot of folks commenting that, hey, you're growing your hair back. But outside of that, the opportunity is alive. It's strong. It's great for Conserva. We're the number one irrigation contractor across the U.S. We're the number one in water management, which is huge. That happened just 7 years into the journey here. And now we're part of what's called Conserva 2.0. I've recruited and brought in a director of franchise operations from Neighbourly, which is a big franchise group, as we know.
The largest in the world.
Yeah, you got it, man. And big brothers to us, big sisters to us. And I brought her in. She was with Mystery Electric, and in the last 7 years took that from about $43 million to $200 million in system-wide sales. We're right at $50 million. I brought her in. I recruited her heavy and hard. She's with us. She's been with us since January 3rd and just dynamic. And so that's our focus. That's our goal as all in our franchise owners. How do we grow to that next level for Conserva?
Was 2.0 a change in the business model, or is it more just operational infrastructure and support? What does that look like?
Yeah, I asked her specifically to come in and do what I did to the industry as a contrarian. Why? Why would you do that? And I asked her to look at our model and tip it upside down and put it out in the boardroom table and say, that's a winner. We're going to keep that. Why are we doing this way? It's not as scalable. She's really focusing on KPI dashboards, tech stack, in and around that, in the face of the franchise owners daily, where you're at, leads coming in, where the lead referrals are in that whole scale. And then from there, leads to appointments to what we call SOS or SES. Appointments and proposals to close rates, et cetera, average ticket size, et cetera, on a daily basis, real timely. What we're using a program called Power BI, phenomenal in the face of the franchise owners and ultimately then the technicians. And then our staff is there to help coach through that. That's one big part of it. The other part is just taking a refresher and looking at our industry. How can we bring additional tech to it, different innovation? We're doing that in multiple areas right now, and that's been a huge driver. And it's just also getting to critical mass. I think we'd all agree you got to get a certain number of players coming in that now the hockey stick effect comes into play, and that's where we're at.
Justin, kick us off for the audience so that we could go through the material and build up. What brand are we talking to?
Yeah, I mean, not only are we all about conserving water, Russ, but we're about franchisors who started out as franchisees. We love that. We've had several on the show. We think that there's a certain level of understanding and empathy, right? Just understanding what a franchisee expects from a franchisor. Why don't you start there? So before even Conserva, I mean, you were the first franchisee, I think, right? With Mosquito Squad. Take us through the journey into franchising.
20 years ago, so my business partner, Tom, and I were underground utility construction operators. Both of us came from white collar. I stepped in first and dipped my toe into underground utility construction. But what we learned along that process was fiber to home, communications, Quest, and now CenturyLink, bringing that to new neighborhoods and developing that grid. All sorts of customers were asking us like crazy, man, do you do irrigation? Why? Well, you look like irrigators. Like, why would I? Well, you're same equipment. And I might call an irrigator. And they're like, whoa, they don't show up. Now, cascade that 20, 25 years later, it's the same story. It's amazing, right? But at the same time, we wanted to start going direct to consumer. And we loved being the first franchise owners of Mosquito Squad. We just loved that opportunity. The first time we felt in business for ourselves, but not by ourselves, we actually thought, Justin, it was a very naive thought. We thought, man, we're going to teach this franchisor how to run a business. Now, operationally, we were awesome. But what we didn't understand is all the other 99.9% of what it took to build scale, build marketing and strat planning and all that stuff in and around business. And we learned so much in those first 4 years at Mosquito Squad. I'm still a franchise owner today, 20 years later, and we continue to learn. And at that point, after those 4 years, I look back to my business partner and I said, hey, man, we should go back into that space where our customers were asking like crazy, do you do irrigation? Went to Google. We had all intentions of buying an irrigation franchise. There wasn't one. So I thought, all right, let's solve that issue. There's 4,400 or whatever the heck the number are, different things, right? Picking up poop all the way to McDonald's and anything between, right? And so I thought, there's got to be something out there. And I approached at that time Outdoor Living Brands, now Empower Brands, Outdoor Living Brands. I approached Chris Grand Prix, Scott Zeig, Corey Schrader, some of the leaders there. And I said, hey, I got a concept. We should really go into this. And they were afraid of it at first because nobody had ever done it. And so I took a flyer, studied like crazy, went to the first ever Irrigation Association national trade shows in Phoenix that year. It was 15 years ago. I just went to my 15th in a row this last November. In doing so, I walked in there like a kid in a candy store. I was like, oh my gosh, they're talking about smart irrigation, things that I conceptualized, saving water. And therein, 1 month later, I founded the company, spent another 8 or 9 months really taking a deep dive, studying operationally how to do that. And then from there, focused on opening up that first shop. First 90 days, I had 305 customers. That was a one-page static website and a bunch of shoe leather. And I'm like, okay, I know we're onto something, right? So that gave me about a month or two in Minnesota to start to study those customers and those clients and ask them, what attracted you to Conservo? What's missing in the industry? What do you need? And I took this very organic and, well, contrarian type view on the industry and started to ask the right questions and took everything out, all the standard protocols, and decide what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. And we started to really start to formulate, you know, what's the core values? Professionalism is missing, innovation is missing, and responsibility, being a great steward of a very finite natural resource. And that we found resonated unbelievably. And from there, right, the first full season, the second full season, then at that point, it was talked about that, well, Russ, you know, we know Russ can run a business and Russ is good at doing that. Can he replicate and duplicate? Can it be scalable? Is it something that's franchisable? So I went to 8 different markets across the U.S. and expanded the operations. All 8 did better than I ever did because they're building upon that foundation.
Were these franchises or you owned these?
They were pre-franchises, so you couldn't charge for them. It was a franchise model, but it was a pilot, called it. And I remember being laughed at all sorts of events going, man, you're giving away franchises. Chris Grand Prix, our CEO at the time, said, we'll never, ever build a business based upon somebody else's dollar. We'll do that internally. Let's gift it to them. Now they have investment in a van and employees and running the play for marketing, et cetera. But I wanted to find the idiosyncratic nature of marketing in each of the markets. I wanted to find that idiosyncratic nature of all the nuances of irrigation in each of those markets and go to play on that. And they all did exceptionally better. And then from there, we had enough gathering of data. Every year I go back. Finally, December 2016, we had enough data where the unit economics were strong and favorable to the prospective franchise owner that we felt confident that we could roll this thing out. And then June of 2017, we rolled it out.
All right, I have questions. This is fantastic. I want you to go back to what exactly did you do to generate 350 inquiries or leads?
Clients. It was a lot of shoe leather, man. It was belief in a system, talking to people, getting, you know, not being a secret agent about an opportunity. And I challenge all new franchise owners, all existing franchise owners today in our system across all of Empower Brands. You're doubling down. You're betting on yourself. You're betting on a concept. You can't hold that internally. If you're an introvert, you've got to be an extrovert. A lot of people are like, oh, you're such an extrovert. However, I'm very, very reserved in a lot of scenarios, but I try to teach people how to get out and have pride in what you do and talk to people. And it really came into the idea was if I'm at one job site, I'm instantly at that neighbor, and that neighbor. If I'm filling up a vehicle and I'm in a wrapped vehicle and somebody looks at it just once, just look at it. Now, all I have to ask them, you have an irrigation system? The answer is going to be one of two things, yes or no. Yes, free inspection. No, want one? I just need to ask the question.
That's right.
And that's how we grew it so quickly. Just being inquisitive and proud of what we were doing.
We would do the same thing when we were in our fitness franchises. All of our locations were in the same shopping center as a Starbucks. Starbucks was usually right next door. So people would walk by on the way into Starbucks and they peek in the window, right? And you could tell that they were like inquisitive, like what's going on in there? I kind of want to find out, but I'm a little intimidated. So they were going to Starbucks. We'd follow them in, buy them a cup of coffee, sit down and have a chat, invite them into the gym, right? Just start a conversation and win a client. And it's those little things, right? When people talk about the President's Circle franchisee compared to, oh, what is the bottom third not doing? Those things, getting out of the van and having a conversation.
I call it the little big things.
Right.
Those little things are the big things. And that's the difference. That's always the differentiator. What do winners do that non-winners don't do? It's those little things and they all add up.
Yeah. Yes, they Agreed. Do. Yeah, it's a force multiplying effect. Then you bring that person in, they end up giving you a referral, they end up bringing their friend, they invite their neighbor. It just keeps compounding and compounding. And before you know it, you're the largest brand in the U.S.
And we almost come to the point where we started to learn, we didn't do it this way, but we found that if we ever had a fault or a misstep, that actually worked out better because it showed we were Johnny on the spot. We were quick there to help correct it, make it right. And then we got more referrals. And we kind of, you know, anecdotally, we'd start to create these internal conversations. We should build in a missing factor to every time we have a misstep with a customer because it helps us shine even that much greater. And of course, we didn't do that. But the reality was when it did, we had a heightened sense of responsibility to make it right. And then that, again, being a force multiplier. Absolutely.
You have heard from so many exciting franchise brands in a podcast, and you may be sitting there thinking about which ones could be the best fit for you. If this is the case, give us a call. We provide a free consulting service to prospective small business owners like yourself, and we will help you take a disciplined approach to determining which brands could be the best fit for you. Call or text us at 561-277-3710 or visit www.franosity.com. That's www.franosity.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Justin, is that brand Stu Leonard's? Is that Connecticut?
Yeah, they're up in the Northeast.
Russ is reminding me of a story that the founder had. He said he was invited to his local school to talk to the kids. And he said, why would these kids care about my dairy store? He went to the school. He agreed because he's a staple for the community. He said that there was a pilot, there was a fighter pilot, there was an astronaut, there was lawyers. And he goes, and then there was me. He said, he goes, two Two kids showed up in his room. He gave each kid a free coupon to come into the store to get an ice cream. And one of the kids that came in the classroom, his father worked in my store. He goes, so really only one kid showed up. Listen to the story. This is a Russ story. He said the staff, so it's over. He does his thing. Why would you want to be in my industry, dairy farmer, whatever? And the administrators come into his classroom and they said, are you ready to do your next event? She said, I don't know what just happened, but we need to move you out of this room into the theater because you have like 150 kids that want to learn about what you do. And he realized it's the freaking coupon for the ice cream. Two kids with two coupons told every student, we just got free ice cream from Stu Leonard's.
Yep. He's handed out fun coupons.
He actually tells this story on a marketing platform about it has nothing to do with what you do. So what? It's not sexy. It doesn't matter. He's a dairy farmer. He ended up with the biggest room in the history of the school branding his company for a coupon. It's so true. Marketing, people don't understand how like deceptively simple sometimes marketing can be. Just get out there, press the flesh, speak to people you don't know. And I love what you said. You have all this passion inside of you as a new franchisee of this idea. You got to let it out. You have to tell every single person you come into contact with. I love it. Caveman talk. You have a system? No. You want one? I love that.
That's exactly it.
I love that.
You got to always be marketing. We have a local franchise owner in this area. He does a fantastic job, he and his wife. And I take every opportunity. I'm always branded. I'm always right showing off the colors. And so I'm sitting in the chair post-MRI for some neck issues, right? And the neck surgeon, what's this conserve irrigation? What's going on with that, man? And so I just got my 30-second pitch, throw it out there. He's like, man, rarely does a customer of mine, a patient of mine, help me more than I help them. But I really have an issue. My wife, Sarah, are you the type of company that would actually answer the phone? I'm like, 100%. Are you the type of person that would follow through? 100%. I go, you just share with me the information and I got it. And he did, puts it on a piece of paper. He goes, because of whatever the laws are, right? The HIPAA laws and stuff. I can't reach out to you and all that type of stuff. But my wife can. Here's her information. And before he returned, as he's looking at x-rays and MRIs type stuff, I'm like, hey, Sarah, Russ here, Conserve Irrigation. I'm with your husband. He's going to hopefully help me out with my neck issue. And I go through the whole thing. Huge job. So, right, we get it. I get my guy. Before I even leave the office, my local guy's already contacted her. She's smitten. We're going to be there that Friday. This is a Tuesday. Done deal. And now several weeks later, right? They're fantastic customers, fantastic clients. But why not? Patronizing his business. I chose him because of great reviews. Many, many of them out there. I chose him. Best reviews. Guess what? We have the best reviews. Let's do business. Let's get it taken care of.
So what was the story? My wife, Sarah, is the head of the HOA, and she's tired of the sprinklers going off while it's raining. What's going on?
Yeah, it wasn't. You get a lot of those, the HOA type stuff. They were just with Helene that came through, the two hurricanes that came through. They're right on the intercoastal, and they just got obliterated by it. And they had put in all sorts of artificial turf. The seawall failed and blah, blah, blah. And so they've got this big property that they'd invested in, and they wanted to go back to more traditional irrigation, bring in St. Augustine Stodd and stuff like that. And I'm like, we got you covered. We got it. Let's just do it. But yes, many times it's the HOAs that we go in and we correct those problems.
Cliff, I'm sure you were there.
We just spent an ungodly amount of money on irrigation. We have to tell everyone that comes in the community, stay off the lawn because people park on the lawn, destroy the sprinkler heads. Our budget's $10 million in the community. To manage the community. The number one allocation is landscaping and irrigation. Mm. We went through this whole thing where we spent six figures because, your timers are 3G. That doesn't work anymore. There's no retrofit, right? Well, we have all 3G timers.
Yeah. I got so frustrated with that early on. We nailed residential right away, which made sense. That's the bread and butter of it. And right, it's easier to do. It's a longer sales cycle. I nailed Target stores early on. We started with 9, went to 303. That was a whale that landed. That was a whole different thing. But in between is the HOAs. I got so frustrated trying to earn commercial business. You'd be driving by properties and three broken heads right along the main road.
watering at 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, wrong That's answer.
Right. All these different stuff. And I go in and I get so frustrated with the answer. Oh, yeah. We put an RFP together every January or February. Lowest provider gets it. I'm like, I'm not a low provider. That's what you've got.
So I created a proprietary algorithm that ultimately, at the end of the day, I could pique the interest of those that are making the decisions, and it, especially in the HOAs, but any commercial property. In, it's about a 495 character algorithm, and it won us this big award at the Irrigation Association, and it continues to be proprietary, and nobody in the industry has it. But at the end of the day, as we can send now AI-generated type of technology over a property, measure up the irrigated square turf and or plant material. We know all the plant coefficients. We know it's in that exact area. We can enter that into the algorithm. What do they need for water? Water's public data. And so I can pull what that HOA community is using for water, specifically for irrigation. And then I can measure that against, and through the Toro company, we have access to all the ET, the evapotranspiration data. So how water leaves the earth, evaporates or transpires from plant materials. So we know what we need to, by definition, replace with irrigation. So we put this together, and we all the other things we can take into consideration with it. But at the end of the day, what it says is this. If I was going to meet with Justin, he's the board president of the HOA, by the way, by definition, then he's a retired engineer and knows more than everybody else. But if we could enter data into that scenario, and I can say specifically, I've looked at your X number of square feet, X number of square your acreage and stuff like that. And I can say over the last 36 to 60 months, you guys have utilized 22.1 million gallons is what you use on an average basis over the last 5 years. My algorithm says you need to be using closer to 10.1 million gallons. You're overspending X number of dollars and X number of gallons. I can show you how to get to that, and I can show you the actual ROI in months, 18 months, 16 months, 20 months, whatever. Now they're making a fact-based decision relative to the investment. We're also going to talk to them about taking, just like asphalt, just like roofs, just like windows and siding, we're going to move that irrigation asset. So now we're going to start talking about capital planning and putting together capital expenditures. The annual investment on water is formulaic. I can show them plus 10%, plus or minus 10%, what that should be in a weather normal year. And I should show them also, based upon the antiquity of the program, the irrigation system that they have, what they should be investing in, average snowfall damage, average freeze-thaw damage, average whatever part of the U.S. they're in, and what that should look like. They can budget that as an expense. The capital planning on keeping that system going, that's a different thing. That's a whole different game in that shift in how we deal with that mathematically and how we deal with that on a tax basis. It's a whole different game.
So,
and that's what we'll bring to the industry.
So is this something the franchisees are using locally, Russ, or is this more of a national accounts play for the franchisor?
Both. We go at the national play, we go at the regional play, but we cascade that to the franchise owner. We're first to market. So the most exciting thing about this, nobody goes into irrigation on purpose. Come on, right? Hey, honey, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go take a shovel and start working on irrigation. That's not what the opportunity is about. The opportunity is about competing against an unsophisticated industry that doesn't have sophisticated players. There's a few, and they're great. And we want long for them to help raise, right, rising tides. At the end of the day, it's a very fragmented industry. Like we talked about at the beginning of the conversation with Mosquito Squad, that was not only the first to market, that was creating in industry. There never was private mosquito abatement until Mosquito Squad. And now I don't know how many fall, 10, 20, 15, whatever the heck it is. It's the same thing here. While we're not creating the industry, we're recreating the industry, entering and injecting in sophistication and bringing the level of play up. And that's where our franchise owners are taking advantage of that. The average dude or dudette going down the road in a truck with a magnet on it, that's not answering the phone, or maybe answering the phone as they're manning a shovel, is not the one that's going to deploy a great concept about sustainability to an HOA board. That's where you enter conserva, and that's where we run out the score.
Very cool.
How many units do you have now?
Franchise owners, about 200 licensed territories, but 78 franchise owners. We're at $50 million in revenue and just getting started.
The cost of water varies throughout the U.S. Do you see areas where, like, yeah.
Huge.
I bet.
I even look at back in the days of Minneapolis, St. Paul, right? The two major cities right there. There's 87 municipalities, right? Suburbs around that. So 89 total different rates. And we dialed in it all the way from $2 to $14 per 1,000 gallons. Well, here I am in Florida. I'm on a 10,000 square foot postage stamp of a lot right on the water. Every time they want to water their lawn one time, on average, $25. But if Conserva can cut that down to $11 or $12, would that be of interest? Of course it would be. And that's what we do in our value proposition. 40 to 60% water reduction and still greener, healthier lawn and landscape. And that's the whole idea. Our industry is horrible. We waste 1.5 billion gallons every single day by overwatering. It's miserable.
$25 to water their lawn?
One time.
That's
4,000 square feet out of 10,000 square feet. Take out the house, the pool, the hardscapes, 4,000 square feet. It's $25 to water it one night.
That seems insane to me.
So we all sit there and we go, hey, I got a coupon for $5 off on this beer, right? Which is great. But why not have a coupon at your home to reduce the water spend on your irrigation system in half?
What's the average savings for a customer switching to a Conserva system?
40 to 60%. So it depends upon wherever they're at for size of water, size of land, size of amount of water they're using and the amount of spend. But regardless, cut it in half. That's the easy part of it. So if they're spending many of these neighbors are $300 and $400 a month for irrigation, cut it in half. Would that be of interest? We all would say yes. Hmm. 100%. Plus, there's all the other variables that we don't take into consideration in that formula, which is when we're not overwatering and leaching the soil of the great nutrients, we have less need now for weed feed fert. We have less need now for replacement of plant material that got overwatered. We have less need now for trip fall, slip fall liability, especially commercial, where you're overwatering hard surfaces, and especially also commercial, but also we have a less need now for hard surface damage. You can go, doesn't matter where across the U.S., you can go through all sorts of parking lots. Go to your Target stores, your Home Depots, Lowe's. I can show you without running that system where most of the irrigation heads are next to that hard surface. There's damage because of the overwatering. And when we don't overwater, we don't see that. And so this thing cascades. Our industry, as far as the green industry, especially more specific to commercial maintenance is mow, blow, snow, weed, feed, fir, tree, mulch, parking lot sweep, and we tolerate a little bit of irrigation. Irrigation actually is the tail that wags the dog. It affects most of those other scenarios. And so when we irrigate properly, irrigating to the need of the plant material by definition, when we irrigate properly, most of those other services are controlled in a much better and a healthier way.
I completely agree with you. Seeing it here in an HOA with over 700 homes, you can see the importance of it. Overwatering, destroying. You're right. It's a cascade effect. It's like, you know, you're overwatering. You know, you killed all these indigenous plants that are florid, you know, from Florida, or too much sunlight, too much water, too little water. Oh, you have root rot. Why do I have root rot? You're overwatering this area. Who's regulating this? Who's mad? It's like, my God. I mean, these Sylvester palms, these royal palms, they're 10, 15, 20 grand a tree. A tree. We have to explain to the community. It's like, well, where's all this money going? Outdoor water use. 30% of a household's daily water consumption is dedicated to the outside. And if you live in an arid region of the country, 60% of your water use could be for outside. You'd almost think this would be a law. You know what I mean? Like, wait, we can't waste this much water because you want landscaping in an arid region of the country. It's like, no, you chose to live near a desert. You're going to look like a desert. But it's like, no, I want to spend 60% of my water use watering things that really shouldn't be here. But listen to this stat, because you talked about 1.5 billion in waste. We're using 9 billion gallons a day in landscape irrigation nationally. 9 billion.
Amazing.
Like, these numbers are startling to me.
Those are awesome stats. And I'd argue, I think our resources show it more staggering. The Mason-Dixon line is 59% of the average water that comes into a household departs by way of irrigation systems. And as you go further south, it's closer to 65 and 70% or even higher. But the reality at the end of the day, however you mix the numbers, they're staggering. And we need to affect change. There's two ways I figured I could affect change. I do testify, by the way. I've been to Washington, D.C. I've been to the Minnesota State Legislature many times testifying on behalf of these types of statistics, trying to shake it up. I'm 57 or 56, almost 57. I won't get to that state of life, right? I don't have enough time to sit there and affect change. So I thought the other alternative, create a company that would force change, affects change, change the way we water the world. And that's really the focus of Conserva. How can we do that in a way that's going to promote water savings, right? But also promote a business opportunity in and around it where we can put our head on the pillow at night and feel great about how we're earning our income. No shame in saving the earth. You, right, you're out there, Sittner. You saved the earth's fresh water. Shame on you, Russ John. Okay, thank you. You're welcome. But that's how we look at things. As we step back and we look at the globe, right, 70% of the earth is covered in water. 3% of that is fresh.
Fresh.
2% is frozen in the glaciers. That leaves 1%. 21% of the 1% left over is actually tied up in the Great Lakes.
Wow. Okay?
That means 79 one-hundredths of 1% of the entire Earth's water is fresh and available to us for drinking. And what are we doing? Watering during a rainstorm, before a rainstorm, after a rainstorm, when we need it, when we don't need it. It's gross. It's horrible.
Yeah, it is. That's what they said. 50% of all water use is inefficient. Factors like evaporation you talked about, right?
Yeah.
Wind. Why? I hate it when I'm like walking through the neighborhood and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the sprinklers are on. Not only are they burning the lawn, you're just evaporating. You got wind, you got runoff, you have all sorts of issues. I completely agree with you. I'm not as green as you are. You're like really passionate, but I absolutely see the importance of this. And I want a healthy planet. I want clean drinking water. And I don't want to waste these valuable resources. So I completely agree with you. Russ, is there something, and I know there's probably a secret sauce, that's okay. Is there something proprietary about your model? Is there something patented, or is it no? It's everyone else's products that we've put together to create this Conserva model, whether it's the sprinkler head or whether it's using technology. What makes you a conservationist of water?
I think, well, everybody always wants, right? I always kind of kid about that. Everybody, well, you know, what's the silver bullet? Man, if I had that, I'd be a gazillionaire. No, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't. It's not this. It's this, right? It's you selling you and promoting you and creating culture.
We have that all the time. I ask that of our franchise owners every single day, right? In the mirror, would you work for you? Doesn't matter if you have that special widget. Now, we happen to have some of those special widgets. We have an amazing proprietary algorithm for commercial site assessments. We have proprietary methodologies by which we market. We have proprietary methodologies by which we can evaluate landscape. We have some proprietary products through the Toro company that they've developed for us. None of those win at the end of the day, right? It's the package. It's how you build scale, how you build culture, how you deploy, how you have passion to build the business. If you're selling ice cream, you better sell the best dang ice cream and the most of it and at the right times, right? It doesn't matter what you're doing. It's how you're doing it, how you're packaging it together. To me, the secret sauce is first to market. You have now in Mosquito for Mosquito Squad, that brand is being rebranded, right? So now they're getting into different types of pest and pest control. They've had to do that 20 years later. We don't have to do that at Conserva. We're early on. We're early adopters. We're talking about low-hanging fruit. I envision us to be the super smart tech stack, smart controllers. We're going to help develop them. But the reality at the end of the day is it's not about flow sensing. It's not about soil sensing. It's not about smart controllers and predictability, capability, and dealing with satellites and all that type of stuff. It's about deploying, blocking, tackling to business. So I do this the same thing, no different than the founder of Mosquito Squad, Boyd Honeycutt, did all those years ago. Answer the phone.
show up on time.
I know it.
Deliver what the consumer wants. I take it one step further. Answer the phone most of the time. You should answer it all the time, by the way, but I'm lowering the bar. Be nice most of the time. You should be nice all the time. Show up on time most of the time. See how I'm going to keep lowering the bar? You're still going to beat 90 to 95% of the consumers or the competition by just doing it most of the time. Not doing it, but most of the time.
That's the secret sauce.
I
completely agree. It drives me crazy when someone will say, you know, I'm not going to do the window cleaning franchise. Why? There's a lot of people doing it, right? That's proof of concept. None of them answer their phone. None of them are professional. None of them are in a uniform. None of them have a logo on their shirt. Their vans are all rusty pieces of shit. Like, what are you worried about? Do you know how easy it is to take market share in anything, fill in the blank home services? You've said, answer the phone. It is that easy to be successful. We say it over and over and over again. I'm glad you're doing it because it's like noise when people hear us saying it. It's the truth. We need to start doing it where I have someone on deck where I could just go on my phone and dial an irrigation company, competitor. I'll bet you 90% they don't answer the telephone.
The server's been disconnected. They don't answer the phone. I'm like, if you want to win in business, we've done it. We have all the other stuff. When you book your, we go through the script, the scheduling, they get the email that schedules them, the confirmation, 24 hours before that, it's all automated. They get the thing that says, hey, Russ is going to be there the next day, right, this time. And not only that, the real-time part of it, thanks to Amazon, says this. When my technician, we have 400 across the U.S., closes out his deal for his 8 o'clock appointment, and now it goes, Justin, Russ is 23 minutes away. Not only that, here's a picture of Russ. So you know what Russ looks like. You feel confident that he's there. And then he's on his way. And then we train our technicians to show up when you can, which is most of the time, park right there. So the front door, they can see it over the shoulder. Walk up the hardscapes. Don't go across their lawn. Respect the lawn, we say. Walk up the hardscapes. Ding dong. Three steps back or one step down, and then you say this. Hi, Justin. My name is Russ. I'm with Conserva Irrigation. How do you know it? I'm wearing Conserva hat. It says Conserva right here, Conserva van right there, and you just got a text that said I'm 23 minutes away. You know who I am, and an email 24 hours ago, and an email when we booked it. And then I say this, the warm transfer. My understanding is you talk to Wanda in her office and you have a problem with two broken heads by the mailbox. Is that correct? You just won 99% of the job. Right hand's talking to the left hand. It's not the old HVAC thing like, so what's going on? Where I'm like, dude, you guys have been here three times before. I'm missing a compressor in my AC unit and you're supposed to fix it. Oh, dude. Yeah, I knew I was supposed to pick that up today. Wrong answer.
Yeah. Love the little details. I want to address the revenue model, Russ. You talked about how most of the revenue comes from residential. You're working on commercial work as well. How much is project-based? How much of it is, like, where's the recurring revenue model come in? I can just hear the people out there saying, you know, this is a seasonal business. What do I do in the wintertime? You started this thing in Minnesota. So talk about seasonality to this model.
Minnesota, first off, all 4 days of summer are fantastic. Right. And sometimes they fall on the weekend, right? So in the land of 10,000 lakes, you're starting a water conservation business in the land of 10,000 lakes where all 4 days of summer are great, right? It's a seasonal business. First off, it's a year-round business. The seasonality comes in and around how the consumer injects time with us, right? And their interest with us. There's nothing greater in a climate where we have to make a decision. We even winterize all the way down into Houston, right? So most of the U.S. is winterizing to some sort, medium, right, or big time they have to. Winterization is a beautiful thing. It forces us. It gives us 6 to 8 weeks to get another 500, 700 more customers. There's a whole different ways that we do that. Blowoutmysprinklers.com that lead to, right, all different generation of getting us the red carpet to do a winterization analysis. Plus, when we winterize systems, we utilize air in most of the markets. Water leaks down, forced air, right, comes up with water and bubbles and shows us, gives us Superman vision for a moment. So we do an analysis, here's what we found in your project that we need to work on. So winterizing is a fantastic thing. We've introduced memberships, right? The Conserva Club, it all has privileges with it associated. We're going to book in the season, summarize, winterize, and in whatever we need to do in between, if it's monthly, if it's quarterly, however. So there's all sorts of recurring revenue with auto pay, which is a beautiful thing, right? Because over 92% of customers come back year over year. That's a huge annuity for our owners. So we take seasonality out of it. It is a year-round business. Here in Florida, of course, it's year-round, but there's a whole influx of snowbirds. That's a whole different idiosyncratic thing that we get to deal with, and right, why we need to take care of those systems while they're not here, why we need to have flow sensing if they're pulling from canals, because we can't lose that prime, right? We have to protect that pump. Doesn't matter where you go across the U.S., irrigation is utilized. It's in heavy rainy areas, it's in arid areas. The greater that the restrictions are, the greater the need for Conserva, right? So we take away those excuses. Man, we're so rainy, we don't need irrigation. You still have it and you need it, and here's why. So all those things we fill in the blanks. As I go through the whole gambit here, right, is it, you know, the need for proper professional intervention on irrigation systems is there. And I look at it more so, Justin, as a mutual fund effect, right? We've got that whole parabolic curve that early adopters, man, put me on it, smartwatch, I'm on it. If you got a smartwatch, you got an electric vehicle, you're going to have one of my smart controllers. You're a gadgety type of person, I've got you. You're going to have flow control. You're going to have all that type of stuff. But for the general population, right, they need that stuff. Some are going to try to DIY it themselves. That's great. If I see you once every 36 months, awesome. I want 10,000 of you in my market, because that all adds up and the timing is right. And if you need me there monthly, I want a bunch of you as well, because I can scale for that. And anything and everything in between. So the need is great regardless of where you go. The commercial to resi, right, or resi to commercial, we're about 80-20. The model originally first started on just retrofitting and upgrading existing systems. Now about 19% of our overall revenue comes from building new systems, both resi and commercial. And why not build them? Yeah, we're a little bit pricier, not the most expensive, but we're up there. But so the price might be higher, but the cost is half to run our systems. So half the water, plus we stand behind our product, right? 5 years, 60 months. We're warranty both product and labor, right? So you're not investing back in that system for that part of it. But the reality at the end of the day is commercial for us last year was up nearly 100%. It's about 93% year over year. Wow. We're seeing a huge uptick in that right now. People are starting, contracts are starting to get unbundled from the mobile snow, weed, feed, fir, tree, mulch, parking lot, and irrigation. They're starting to unbundle that and say, there's a need for us to manage that individually. We want the pros in on that. We're excited that the business is at a position where there's never been a better spot for Conserva 2.0. We're looking for other partners to come on board, come play ball with us, run up the score in your local market, and be the irrigator, dominate the market.
I love it.
Justin, let's get into investment, item 19. You know, staffing, this technology.
The brand always, I always, for some reason, think of this because of the tech, right, and the equipment. And I always think you're going to need a bunch of inventory, a big space. There's a lot that goes into it. And then when I look back at the item 7, this is like a $100,000 investment.
We come out, tech is key. So I've endeavored to always envision first off, right? First things first, right? The next of the next, as they used to call them, are glasses, right? These right here are more what they call smart glasses. How do I take my 5 business coaches, franchise business coaches, and cascade their 40 and 50 years worth of experience in the industry across 400 technicians? I can't fly them. They can't be there all the time to do that. Through this, they can. So when they put these on, all of a sudden, if a technician in Idaho digs up something they don't know what to do with, or they're dealing with a pump system, how do we do that for $800 at that franchisee unit level? My technician in Orlando, who built most of the pumps for Disney, by the way, can talk to somebody in Idaho that came up against
a pump system that they're unfamiliar with. And all of a sudden, instantly, they put these on. And what they're seeing is my guy on his computer is seeing through the left orbit. And on the right, he's putting up a spec sheet saying, this is what it should look like. Take that spec, put it over here. And he's circling in on the left orbit saying, I want to see that wiring harness. Unbundle that thing. Now take out your multimeter. Show me that you have zero voltage. Now we can intercept and we can work with this pump system and rebuild it in a way. And we're doing it for $800. So we're introducing innovation, technology in a space that's been lacking. It's the same thing when I went through Hurricane Ian. I stayed here in this house. It was amazing. 12 and a half hours of sheer terror, right? Through that, as we started getting stuff to show up, I'm like, man, I don't want that stuff sitting in my driveway. And I started thinking about it. I'm like, how do we reduce inventory for a franchise owner that's installing new systems? Operation Blue Box, it's now a real deal. We're now in the final piloting stages of it. A 4x4x4 carton shows up from our distributor. First off, if I'm going to your house to install the system, we take all the maps, the plat map, it goes to our internal person that does a design of that system. It then does a material takeoff of it. It then goes to shopconserver.com, which is another thing that we created, right? Pick, pack, ship, instead of having technicians walk through the aisles of distributors and waste time and buy stuff that's not part of our protocol or get poached by a competitor. How do I keep them out of that stuff? So we came up with shopconserver.com, same day, next day, or 2 days worse, that product shows up at that van for that technician. And then now everything's in that. It took 18 months to figure out the QR code capability to go to that box, which is blue, new irrigate, right? Super high efficient conserver irrigation system to be installed here. It gets delivered 3 days before it gets installed, sits on the driveway. And I went one step further. I'm like, I want one big red bow on it that gathers attention. It was like, what's that blue box with a red bow? White lettering, conserver irrigation, high efficient irrigation system to be installed here.
I don't think we've ever had a founder on this show talk this passionately about the nerdy. I'm about to go run through a fucking wall listening to Run.
Exactly that type of stuff.
Chair.
And a guy shows up, right? He's the project manager, and it opens it up. He opens it up. There's the design of the system. There's all the parts, pipes laying next door to it. It's protected in form. And then after that project, they pick it up, goes to there. Honey, there's another blue box. Honey, there's another blue box. Honey, how do we get one of those blue boxes? It's no great. Additional charge for my great franchise marketing. Owner.
Love it.
Great marketing.
Start work from home. Do I need a storage unit?
No, but you're going to grow to that.
Okay, yes, so you'll absolutely. Grow to some industrial space. $85,000 to $110,000 initial investment, peanuts. Average franchisee, average from what you're showing us, $777,000. The profit margins are.
We'll show you where. The new FDD is going to show higher when we file that in January, and the new FDD is going to file higher on the gross profits. And
the number's going up. The profit margins, Cliff, are beautiful in this business. You have recurring revenue, you have B2B, B2C, you have national accounts, you have Empower brands behind them.
Yes.
What else do you need?
We need more people to hear your story, story through you guys, which is there's never been a greater time. There's people that are making money picking up poop. There's people that are making money, right? Serving McDonald's hamburgers and anything and everywhere in between. It's a business model to generate wealth. I founded the company on two principles. Number two is water conservation. Yes, it's near and dear to me. I don't hug every tree. I like trees. I don't hug every water droplet, but I certainly love it. But I created the company to create more financially independent business owners in the green industry that's ever been created before. And that's a huge thing, and we will not stop. This is a business model to create wealth. Make no mistake, impact and make change in your community. Yes, do it and bring a bunch of great technicians and admins and take care of your community and be known to be that guy or that gal that changed the way we water the world. Do that. That's cool. And make money. Absolutely.
Yes.
We appreciate it.
Love what you hear on the Pursuit of Profit podcast? show your support by subscribing, rating, and leaving a review. Thank you for being a part of our journey.